Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work, we'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover. Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay, I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com.
In Colorado, you can legally gamble in Black Hawk, Central City, Cripple Creek, and licensed online sports betting. Protect our communities. Learn more at PlayLegitCO.com. A message from the Colorado Division of Gaming. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution!
On tonight's episode, in light of what happened last night in Manchester, England, I'm going to start off with the sponsors real quick, kind of breeze through them, and I hope you forgive me for it. StraightRazors.com, at night she cries while he rides his steed, StrikeForceEnergy.com. You can use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off at StraightRazors.com and StrikeForceEnergy.com. Instead, tonight, I'd like to talk about what happened and the 22 mostly children who died in Manchester, England. I see a common theme that keeps popping up after one of these events happened, and it's I'm sending thoughts and prayers. Every single person is sending fucking thoughts and prayers. That's not good enough anymore. It's just not. We're sending thoughts and prayers seemingly every 2 weeks to a different country, a different city, all for these bullshit attacks. Here was the last thoughts and prayers. April 7th, 2017, a man driving a hijacked beer truck who hit pedestrians in Stockholm, killing 4 people. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. March 22nd, 2017, a man drives a rented SUV into pedestrians at London's Westminster Bridge, killing 4 people. The attacker then stabbed a police officer to death. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. December 19th, 2016, a hijacked truck plows through Christmas market in Berlin, killing 12. Yet another thoughts and prayers. July 14th, 2016, a truck driver targets Bastille Day revelers in Nice, France, killing 86. Thoughts and prayers. March 22nd, 2016, suicide attacks at the Brussels airport and subway kill 32 and injure hundreds. Thoughts and prayers. November 13th, 2015, extremists attack the Bataclan Concert Hall and other sites in Paris, killing 130. Thoughts and prayers. Nothing has changed. I'm personally sick and tired of people sending thoughts and prayers. We need to do better than that. And it starts with at home. This fucking travel ban that was proposed by our president that a couple district courts have now blocked is one way to help stop sending thoughts and prayers. We need to actually have some action behind these thoughts and prayers in order for anything to get done. And right now, it seems just because of what party you're on, You'd rather just send thoughts and prayers than actually do anything about the actual problem that we're trying to confront. Look, Jables, we have a child. Mm-hmm. Chances are, if he was of age and he wanted to go see the Ariana Grande concert last night, who would have taken him? Would have taken him to the show. There was a lot of kids there. The first person who died last night, she was 8 years old. This goes beyond, you know, when you attack an Ariana Grande concert, you're targeting
kids.
A select group of demographic that you know is mainly kids.
Mm-hmm.
Children. Parents taking their children. This isn't a heavy metal concert. This isn't, you know, with the sole intent of killing as many kids as you possibly can. And most of it is over some bullshit religion that we can't see. No one's ever seen.
What's the message with this one? Like, just literally watch your back.
That's it.
We'll go anywhere.
That's it. ISIS has claimed responsibility.
Okay.
And saying that there's more to come, more death to the world, because you don't believe in the same ideals as we believe in. Which is absolutely fucking crazy to me. And on the American side, look, I mean, you see people changing their Facebook posts. You see people putting up a British flag over their picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's a new country over everybody's picture every 2 weeks. And it's like, that's enough. But when it comes time to actually enact and do things that would actually prevent these types of attacks from happening, nothing is ever done. And the news doesn't want to talk about it anymore, unless they have to, unless they absolutely fucking have to. When this happened yesterday, I was at the gym, and right before I left, I had saw like a brief thing on that ran across. I follow all the news sites on my Twitter feed. I saw a brief thing run across from Fox News. And again, I'm not saying any of the news organizations are right. They're all fucking slanted one way or the other. But report the actual news. I saw a crawl that went across my thing about, you know, Fox News saying there was an explosion in Manchester outside the Ariana Grande concert, but they don't know anything or what's going on. They were sending people in. Whereas CNN and the rest of MSNBC, We're talking about the Trump Russia probe that's going on and who's going to testify against who, which I get that's what your ratings are going for anymore. But there's got to be some instances where you're actually reporting the news and it's not about which way you're slanting it. CNN, when I got home, it was a good hour and a half, about a good 90 minutes before CNN even picked up this story. And then this morning, all they did was focus on, again, this Trump-Russia probe, which I could give a baker's fuck about the goddamn probe. The election's over. It's been over for a long time. I don't care. And truthfully, if there is any collusion with Russia or what secrets we're giving Russia, I think we should collude with all of them. I think we should get together with Russia. I think we should get together with China. And I think
it's about the election, right?
No, this is about everything overall going forward and how we see even the cover of Time magazine has, you know, the Church of Russia forming into the White House now. And it's like it's not about sharing. We should be sharing secrets with each other. We should be trying to fight terrorism together because we can't do this on our own. We've got to have the help of other countries. And we've got to start sharing what we know and information about what we know about what's happening around the world in order to stop this. Otherwise, this is just going to keep going on over and over again. And I feel like I'm at the point where it's like, if you don't report this on the news and you don't inform people and let them know what's happening, then you're going to get caught up in something like this. Because you're uninformed about what's happening around the world and what's happening in these other cities.
So I listened, we talked about the other night that we like to listen to and watch all the different channels because it's the only way to get one
real
kind
answer.
Of picture.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so in the morning I listen to the New York Times podcast, but then I'll also watch Fox, and you have to see what all the different sides are to get the right.
Sure, because you're not getting the right story
half of the story.
Yeah.
So you're getting a one-sided account, right? So New York Times, they did the whole show on the investigation into Flynn, right?
Sure.
The Flynn investigation, whatever, about the election and like Russia's whatever involvement in that. And then at the very end, they said attack in Britain treated as a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Good day.
Yeah. Treated
see
as a terrorist
tomorrow.
Attack.
Tomorrow. But that literally, and I said out loud, I was like, oh my God. Like, yeah. I thought they were going to at least go into it a little bit. No.
No. That's it. And
treated,
you know,
as a terrorist attack. How else are you supposed to treat it?
Yeah.
What else is it? Just some crazy person?
Well, they don't want to say it because then therefore they would be pushing somebody else's agenda, which, look, I don't think there's an agenda to push. Like, after all of the laundry list that I just read off at the top of the show, this is happening every 2 weeks and then you forget about it. Like, even today, right now, we're live on air, you know, as of this moment. World Turtle Day is trending number 2 on Twitter. There's not even Pray for Manchester is number 7. It's number 7. That's how much people don't care or Twitter does. I don't know what their algorithm is about what's going on in the world or if people are just numb to it at this point where they're like, it happened again. We'll chalk it up and we'll try to get them next time. We'll try to get them next time.
So how does the travel ban stop stuff like that? Because
I think
in all these cases, though, not all of them traveled to do this. Like, they were born and raised there, and ISIS got their internet hold on them there. So, like, how does a travel ban? I want to know.
And a lot of people have asked me that today because I posted something on my Facebook.
At this point, how does that help?
Here's how I think a travel ban helps. One, you stop bringing people over to start having kids, having them born here, having homegrown terrorists.
So this is a long game.
Yes, long game. Because I don't think this is going to be fixed or corrected overnight.
Because
I don't want to make it seem like that at all. Because that's impossible.
Because ISIS is converting people via the internet.
Exactly. Now, right.
Just from where they're at.
Absolutely.
They're not traveling. Nobody has to travel anywhere. No one has to leave.
Exactly.
They're doing it without that. So
sure.
Is it shutting down something like that?
Yes. And I think here's the long, I think you have to treat this as a long game.
Okay.
First of all, by starting a travel ban, you stop bringing these fucking people from terrorist countries into your own country. So whatever they're going through in their own country and homelands, like, you know, chances are they fucking hate it. Obviously, they're over here for another reason.
Right.
But that hatred still exists. So then it's passed on to their children that they're going to eventually have. Their children are going to grow up with one idea of America that probably isn't, you know, it's the America that their parents know of and or hated when they came over from their other countries. Therefore, they're going to grow up with that. And you're essentially just raising terrorists in your own country. That's my personal belief on that.
Okay.
And with that being said, you know, if you can stop that from happening by bringing them over, just putting a halt on it, you know, me personally, I'd like to see like a 10-year halt on it. And look, we're banned as a people from going to certain countries as well. Can't go to North Korea. I can't go to Iran. There's countries that us as Americans can't go to because we're viewed as dangerous, or, you know, the last American that was captured in North Korea was, you know, he was a spy trying to take down the governments. Like, there's countries that Americans aren't allowed to go into either. Fuck, you can't even get into Canada as an American with a DUI.
Right.
Like, there's rules in every country about what you can and cannot do to get in their countries.
Mm-hmm.
I think enacting a travel ban is first. Then going through the list of people that are here that you let over from these other countries and doing thorough background checks and vetting them.
Mm.
Because there's a lot that you don't know what's going on. There's so many undocumented people in this country. You don't know who's being born. If you don't know who their parents are, you don't know who their children are.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only way to stop this trend from happening and try to contain what we do have here in America, because we're not a perfect country, nor is anybody else. But if we want to stop terrorism and terrorist acts, I think it starts here by not letting in other countries who harbor these feelings against Americans or this, you know, West thinking or way of life and culture. And I think that's the only way to start it, is by that.
Okay.
You have other people who have other ideas and agendas, and look, as soon as
this point, just like, what is going to help? Like,
but as soon as this ban was enacted,
right,
there immediately was a hashtag Muslim ban. You're banning Muslims and Muslims. It's not. There's a bunch of religions in all these countries. The fact of the matter is there's terrorists in these countries.
Right.
So I'm not saying ban this certain one religion. I'm just saying stop it and prevent it from even happening. Then revisit it in 10 years. You know, make your borders safe and then go back and revisit your policies in 10 years. But for the meantime, like, let's just stop letting in fucking people who we don't know why they're coming into this country.
Right.
Let's stop taking in refugees. The refugee thing. I don't understand that at all. I just don't. Mm-hmm. To me, there's no reason there. Look, if you grow up in a culture like that and you have children over there, if it's a bad culture already, why are you bringing children into this world?
Well, you could ask that about even, you know, low income people here too.
Exactly.
Like, what are you doing?
But yeah, you know,
I don't think people, you know, think about that. But
they should. And why is it our job as Americans or a country to care what they think? Like, I don't care what you think. I really don't. Right. And again, like, even going to the fucking Bahamas, for Christ's sakes, you get vetted with questions of what are you doing here in the country?
Right.
You know, why are you here? What's your purpose? What's your thing? I know some countries only let certain immigrants in who have a special skill set of jobs, who are doctors, scientists, things like that. Like,
or sponsored by somebody. Yeah.
That would be a good start. Because, you know, you're not going to sponsor some fucking stranger.
Right.
By letting in refugees, you don't know. They're all of them are undocumented. You have no fucking idea what their intentions are.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for what's going on in their country and the civil wars and all that shit. You know, like Syria, they're going through a civil war right now. And it's like, oh, we need to help them during their civil war. United States had a civil war. No other outside country helped us in that. Figured shit out on our own. We got to the end of it. And then we decided to go on with our democracy and elect presidents and have elections and have a country. Every culture and country in the history of mankind has had a civil war at some point in their country to gain independence from whatever it is they're fighting for. So why is it our job to police the world? Why do we have to intervene? I don't understand it. And, you know,
do you know if Canada still does that sponsoring?
Canada's letting in all the refugees. So they just let in another 100,000. So they're saying, hey, Trump
don't
isn't
they have
taking
to have
them
sponsors or people no. are sponsoring.
No, I don't know what their list is, but they're letting in 100,000. And good luck to you.
Yeah.
Let me know how that works out in a few years. But, you know, as news organizations need to start taking responsibility for this shit too, where, again, like, report the news, report what's going on. CNN's trying to bury this. And if you're keeping score at home and we're just going down the news list, CNN's far right. I'm sorry, CNN's far left. Fox is far right. Mm-hmm. MSNBC, far right. Mm-hmm. Then you have the New York Times, far right. Washington Post,
far left.
Far left.
Yeah, very left.
Very left. Washington Post, very left. You know, the New York Post kind of leans rightish. Mm-hmm. But USA Today, Twitter, Facebook, all lean left. Mm-hmm. Unless you can just genuinely report the facts as they happen and as they come in, how do you call yourself a news organization? All of them across the board. The news is things that are important that are going on in the world, not your own personal fucking opinions, beliefs, who won the election, who didn't win the election. So, you know, as far as like the fake news and all that shit that's going on, everybody's fake news. Everyone should start taking responsibility for what's happening in the world.
Again, fake news is hard though, because it's not fake. It's just one side.
It's not real.
Right. It's only one side, and you're not showing the other side at all.
But they have these op-ed pieces, which are opinionated news pieces, and you know, there's a reason why it's called op-ed. It's their own opinion.
I know.
All of these articles to me are written in someone else's opinion. Right. It's not about the facts anymore.
Right.
It fucking sucks, man. Watching this and seeing this unfold last night, it's crazy.
And also seeing it not be that big of a deal. Like, that's really hard. No. Like, to see it unfold, but kind of just as a blip at the end of the of the broadcast. You're just like, what? Okay, 22? What? Are you going to tell me more? Or like, what happened?
And again, World Turtle Day.
Yeah.
Is trending number two on Twitter.
They have a rough go, those turtles. I mean, I'm always, every time I go to the gym, they're always doing some kind of turtle fundraiser. I'm not joking you.
Yeah.
So they've really got a rough time, those turtles.
Yeah.
According to
the turtle police.
Mm-hmm. Housewife at my gym really just is getting behind those turtles. There's either of like a 5K or a fucking fundraiser or.
Yeah. Look, the turtles are everywhere. The turtles are everywhere.
They're really, I don't know. It's like the whales back in the day. Remember that?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Here I come. Yeah. Remember Save the Whales?
Who was the girl, the Hayden Panettiere who jumped in the ocean trying to save the whales or the dolphins or whatever in Japan?
I bet it was her.
It was her. It was her.
I'm going to look that up. It was for sure her.
Yeah.
Because she's changing.
Yeah, she's definitely changing
the world.
She's changing the world.
You know what I mean?
But you know what the pisses me off about all this is like, there's a lot of these cities in the world that I'd love to go to. I'd love to go back to Paris. I'd love to go back to London. I'd love to go to Berlin. I'd love to go. I don't feel safe. Like,
right.
It's just nothing to me feels safe anymore. Like an Ariana Grande concert.
They won.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like.
They want you to think.
I know. But are they is the question. Like an Ariana Grande concert with kids.
I would never think. And I like to, I think we both do kind of in certain situations, look around and be like, okay, is this something like I'll think if we're in a big crowd,
yeah.
I'll always think like, is this a target? Like
that's
Disney
my first thought
on
now.
A fucking September, like when the school first gets out or something, you're like, is that a time?
Yeah.
That would be a time.
That's my, or that's, whatever. That's my first thought when I step out in the crowds or large environments and it's like, I feel myself like. Head on a swivel, looking around everywhere to be like, all right, cool.
Is this like some place?
I know everybody here? Do I like, does anybody seem suspicious?
Right.
That makes me sad. Like,
right.
That I've turned into that. Cause you're right. Exactly what you said.
And
like,
I'm like the opposite of that.
The terrorists win.
Yeah.
And it's cause you are, you're kind of right. But I, you know, to me with a child now, I feel different about it than, you know, single fucking 20s Ross would be like, who fucking cares?
Yeah,
like,
definitely would never be like, you know, but that's what being young is.
Is,
right?
Yeah.
It's never going to happen to me.
Single
and I'm
Ross would be like,
forever.
Dude, tickets to London now yeah. are probably dirt cheap.
Totally.
I can go first class tomorrow.
Totally. I still have a little bit of that, but it's like leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gone.
Like I
it's
still
gone
have that non-paranoid, like just everything's going to be fine thing.
Sure.
But they're slowly beating it out of me. So good for you guys.
I know. And it's funny, you know, two of our best friends were over in Paris.
Having the time of their life.
Like just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
2 days ago, posting amazing pictures on Instagram.
The little espresso next to the biscotti. I mean.
And they were in London, 2 days before? Yeah. And like, they were like, oh my God, it's glorious.
Right.
This is the greatest city on the planet. And then this happens. Mm-hmm. At an Ariana Grande concert.
Did you talk to him at all?
Yeah. Okay. I talked to him and, you know, they missed it by just a couple days. And it was, you know, no big deal. Didn't really think about it. Like, you hear these stories, but then it doesn't sink in until it happens to you.
I would be interested to know what it's like there.
In Paris or in...
Well, what the press and the whole thing is there. I'm sure they're like...
Well, I mean, look, London elected a Muslim mayor. There's a Muslim mayor for the city of London. I don't know what he says about, you know, this is yet another attack.
Well, yeah, British that was, have always had a lot of Muslims.
Well, it's weird.
for a long time.
Yeah, but it's strange to me. Like, they voted for the Brexit, which was all about immigration. Mm-hmm. You're right. They have a large Muslim community. So does
an Indian. Yeah.
So does France now.
Yeah.
With all the immigrants in there, and I think about these things more than I used to say more than I care to admit, but now I'm admitting it. Where I'm just like, I think about this shit a lot, and I think about it in, again, public places that I go to that I fucking never thought about this shit.
Right.
You know, taken to go to the mall to see Santa, all I kept thinking was, man, there's a lot of people in here. This would be a place to target.
That's horrible.
It is, but these are the thoughts that I have now, where I'm right. Like, man, I never, not in a million years would I think about shit like that. Never used to think about shit like that.
Right.
But after everything that's going on, it's my first thought when I go places, and I'm like, Jesus, man, like it's almost gotten hard to enjoy things to the fullest extent, because there's still that possibility in the back of your mind where you're like, ah, is something going to happen? At least for me personally. I don't know about you.
It's getting there, but you know, I'm like the last person to go there, but like, it's getting there.
Yeah, because like it's definitely getting there for me.
And that's huge. Yeah,
I somehow feel oddly safer when I go through, because you know I go to a lot of like big concerts and big events and things like that, and like that Conor McGregor fight was like the last like massive event that I went to, and it was just like you're going through metal detectors and wands and all that shit. When I got in there, I felt safe.
Right.
I was like, all right, if somebody can get through that security system, like,
they deserve it.
Yeah. So when I got in to the thing, I was just like, I mean, and I'd went through like New York, you know, as big of a city as it is, like, they went through the steps of like, Jesus, man, I went through like 8 police officers before I got in that motherfucker. But I felt safe.
Well, New York, you know,
I felt safe.
Yeah. If anyone like thinks about terrorism at every turn, I think it's New York.
Yeah. And you know, it's spilling over into everything. Like, fuck, ever since 9/11, obviously, going on an airplane, fucking nightmare. Trying to get through all of that, and you know, you're down to like 2 ounce bottles of fucking things, and you could shave this toothbrush down, or you know, all the shit they're pulling out of your bag these days. And it's like, goddamn, that last collusion between Russia and Trump was over the Israeli Secret Service over there had given information that's saying they were trying to bring bombs in through laptops into hard drives. And so that one particular meeting was about, hey man, we just received these reports about terrorists putting bombs inside the laptops and their hard drives, disguising it as a, you know, part of your hard drive. Be on the lookout for that. And it's like, people are like, oh, you shouldn't be giving up sensitive information like that. Why not? Why the fuck not? You're trying to help out someone else's safety or prevent something from happening. Like, why not share that information with other people?
Right.
So yeah, man, I'm just super fucking downer about it.
Well, you know, you should be. I don't think enough people are being outraged about it. Again, like, it just seems
I don't
like
see
a,
any
it like, just seems like a little a, blip. Another thing.
Yeah.
Another thing. And it's, you know, I know they did some PR scrubbing before that where it was just like, okay, Ariana Grande is going to be bad press for this and this.
Yeah.
Let's see how far we can push it back and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, because it was, you know, imagine last night being there and there was, you know, you don't know where your children are. Some of them went in groups together with another parents and things like that. And they were all separated.
Yeah, the video is like the parents all waiting at the bottom of these stairs while like kids are pouring out. And you're just like looking for your kid to make sure that
they're safe
running out or whatever.
And
fucking nightmare.
Yeah. And again, like World Turtle Day is trending. So it's like, I don't know what's going to be done. Like that, you know, I'm reading on here that Cannes, you know, film festival is on high alert, and they canceled their fireworks ceremony, you know, because of loud bangs or whatever the fuck's going to happen. I don't know, but it's like,
what? How does that help?
I don't know. But
do the fireworks if nobody blows up. Get you some fireworks.
Celebrate. Yeah.
Are they like not wanting to trigger people? Or?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening anymore. And it's
I guess if you heard the fireworks and you were like, or if you heard something and you're just like, oh, that's just the fireworks, and then it's a bomb.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And it's,
I don't know,
you know,
the thinking behind that.
All of this shit is over religion. That's, you know, they've been fighting about it for thousands of years back and forth about whose God is right or whose God is who and what, you know, you're supposed to do. And it's like, to me, you're not changing anybody's beliefs. This is going to keep going on. All you can do is try to prevent it. So it's just going to get fucking crazier and crazier.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, the other story is sologamy. Have you heard of this?
No, what's that? What do we got for sologamy tonight?
I mean, just to kind of end on a different...
Sure.
A more important topic.
Absolutely.
I mean, higher up on the trending. Let's, like, go with that, please. The trend of marrying yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry?
Single, probably ladies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mostly ladies. I don't see a guy doing it, but yeah. You have a whole ceremony, just like a wedding. You get gifts and everything, and you just make a pledge to love yourself.
Sologamy. And where did this start?
Sologamy. I don't... They've been doing it for a while in Britain, actually.
Really?
Yeah, and there's packages that they're selling. So you can get over there. Don't get killed.
Yeah.
You can get a package, a travel package to go over there. You have your wedding and... They set it all up for you and you invite your friends. And so it's big over there, but it's starting to spill over here.
Sure. Sologamy.
Some really empowered, strong women are marrying themselves and making a pledge and there's nothing like sad or depressing
about it.
So it, you know, it's a joyous thing. And
look, you're not blowing up shit. You're not having any terrorist attacks.
Exactly.
Look, if you're marrying
do
yourself,
what you
you're
want.
Good.
You're not hurting anybody,
you're
right?
You're not hurting anybody.
It is just a little sad, I feel.
You're good on that.
You're good. Like, you're not hurting anyone.
No.
Except
what's a little sologamy amongst friends?
Amongst
you
and your cats. You know what I mean?
What made you look up sologamy? Just out of
curiosity. I didn't. It was like trending.
Really?
I'm not kidding. Yesterday it was.
Sologamy was.
Sologamy.
And are they trying to pass this as something like?
No. It's just like, it was more like a pop trend. It's not like a news trend, but it was more like in the, you know, on E! Or Entertainment Tonight or whatever, like that kind of trending.
Sure.
Where it's like the trend in marriage and love.
That's, I mean, I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, you can't, you know.
But then I'm wondering.
A divorce would be really easy, you know, if you're divorcing
yourself.
Would it be?
Yourself, so would it be if you do meet someone, do you have to divorce yourself first?
I think you do.
Is it legally binding? Like,
I think it would be an easy divorce.
You think?
Yeah.
Splitting up the.
The judge just tells you to take a hard look in the mirror and then turn around. And then you're good.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, say
goodbye
to it. It's
just another notch on the belt of like our crazy world.
Well, it's going into
a notch on the belt of people wanting whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
Now.
That's all it is.
And they want you to accept it.
Yeah. And they want another name for it that's, I'm a sologamist.
No, like, I'm not going to give you time to let that sink in. You better be okay with it now.
Yeah.
And don't you dare say one thing to offend me about it.
And accept my sologamy.
Are you married? So the idea is that single women were getting like, are you married? And they were just like tired of it. So now they can say, imagine this at a party. Are you married? Yeah. Oh, to myself. You know what I mean? Like,
you're kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
So they were going to wear a ring and everything. Again.
Real. So they're going.
Oh,
they're going
it's
going to
be the full thing. Like I said, wedding gifts, a ceremony, like the whole thing. Paperwork, you know?
Paperwork.
You got to be held accountable
yeah.
to love yourself.
You really do. You really
okay?
Do.
Because it's hard.
It is.
It's really hard, and especially when you're alone and depressed and single, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a tough slog.
It really is.
Or slog. It's a tough slog, I mean. Yeah.
It rolls right off the fucking damn
really does.
Tongue, doesn't it?
Do you get
it?
To have a cat in that or not? Do you get
yes.
to keep a kitten?
Yes.
You do.
So as soon as you get, that's part of the tradition. You get the ring and then they hand you a cat and a candle.
Yeah.
And you're.
A nice Yankee candle and you're on your way.
I think you might get a Yankee candle loyalty card, actually. And they send you on your way. You get a couple punches in that. So you're good. You're already on your way to a free candle. And yeah. And then you just, you know, you really just, do you tell people?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're married to yourself?
I don't know what you do in that case.
I really don't either. But again, really important stuff. Hard-hitting news here, folks. For
yeah.
me, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, the
slogan. I love that you were talking about your little news. And
well,
then-
we never talk about serious shit very often. This was one where I was just...
Well, you got to. Nobody else is. So.
This is one where I just felt, God damn it, man, like, kids.
You know.
It's kids. And, defenseless kids, and that's what's hit the hardest.
And it was like a nail bomb, so it's just like so
in the worst, most heinous way possible.
Like fucking
yeah, where you just don't know. And I guess you know, seeing all the pictures this morning of all of the children who had died, was just you know, again going to see a concert of one of their favorite bands. I go to hundreds of concerts. And so I'm sorry if we got serious today on Ross Patterson Revolution. You're like, fuck, I usually tune in because it's a comedy show and it's fucking funny. Today, I just, I didn't really feel like being, didn't find much humor in the day today.
Felt wrong.
Which is rare. Which is rare. It's not that it felt wrong. I just, I think addressing some of these things and... You know, even as a comedian or an entertainer or whatever you want to label yourself as, you still have beliefs and things, and it's just sharing them, you know, with other people. I guess that helps sometimes. Where you're like, man, this is a fucking downer. This one's a real bummer. This one,
yeah.
Not that the others weren't, because they were.
Yeah.
I mean, but I feel. Like we've talked about those on the other show, the sister show, Drinking Bros, before we've talked about those. And it's been the same stance on that as well, where it's just like, and they were all, you know, they're all ex-military. And they're all like, look, this is just going to keep continuing over and over and over and over and over. And it was like, you know, 6-8 months ago, I was like, I still thought it was maybe an isolated thing here and there. This is not anymore. Like, this is popping up every fucking 2 weeks.
And not to get back into it again, but it's a vicious cycle. So the more we get pissed, the more we try and do things, the more mad they get, the more vicious their attacks. And it's just like this cycle, right?
Yeah. And my
until
you know,
you figure out
I've held the same belief on it as well. Like, a lot of people said it started, you know, when we attacked Iraq and shit like that. Like, I don't think we should have. I also don't care if those other countries, because look, the Middle East has been blowing itself up for years and years and years. I would have been fine with that continuing. Just don't fuck with our countries or other countries. Like, I don't care. You guys want to, you know, duke it out over religions? Great. Have fucking fun. I don't think it's our job to police the world either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be over in those goddamn places, and I don't want to lose any of our own troops in that shit. While other countries fight over religious beliefs. Like, I could give two shits. About that. So, yeah. With that being said, there was another story out of Britain, ironically today, which took over the number one slot on Twitter that bumped the Manchester tragedy off of the number one ranking.
What?
And he's actually my revolutionary figure of the day, and that's Sir Roger Moore, James Bond. Yeah, did 7 Bond movies, died at 89 years old today. He was the first Bond that I saw as a kid, and I didn't know anything. like my, like, you know, I hadn't seen any of the older Bonds like my dad had.
Right.
And he had taken me to the theaters. It was like, oh, we're going to go see the new James Bond movie. Mm-hmm. And so after watching, I was like, oh my God, this is fucking awesome. And he was like, yeah. Roger Moore was pretty good. And I was like, wait, what do you mean pretty good? And he was just like, well, you know, I still like Sean Connery a little better, but
right.
Roger Moore is pretty good. And I was like, oh, was there was other Bonds?
So you logged on with Roger Moore.
Logged on with Roger Moore. He was my first Bond. And then I went back and I was like, oh shit. And the thing I liked a lot about Roger Moore in particular was he always had a unique outlook on the Bond character itself. He always said how ridiculous it was, and he always tried to play it with humor and like a wry like smile or a wink or the, you know, the arching eyebrow.
Oh yeah,
because
that was his thing.
Well, his belief was for a super secret spy. How does every bartender in the world know who James Bond is? Like, they're already giving him a martini, you know, shaking nuts. If you know what James Bond drinks and you're a bartender all over the world, like, how does the rest of these governments not know who James Bond is?
Right.
So he always had that, you know, unique look and outlook on playing James Bond.
I got you.
And it made it fun for me. So he was one of my favorites. I went after going back and rewatching it. I like Connery. I like the new one, obviously Daniel Craig.
So Craig, yeah. I logged on with Timothy Dalton.
No way.
So that was my log on to Bond, and then
he was the only one I didn't like.
Are you serious?
Yes, I did not like Timothy.
Okay,
Dalton.
So Rocketeer is one of my like favorite movies. Movie. Yeah. One of them, and he's like the best in that. And then Pierce Brosnan. So like that was my log on.
Sure.
And then I went back and watched Connery. So.
All right. Who was your favorite out of all of them?
I think your favorite is the one you log on with. So Dalton.
I switched.
I know that's it's weird. It's and Pierce Brosnan. I don't know.
Oh, Pierce Brosnan was fucking awesome too.
Yeah. So I like those two.
I've switched over the years.
Okay.
I've gone back and forth. Like I was Roger Moore. And then as I got older and I was like, oh man, Connery was pimpy. Like, because Sean Connery, as you get older as a male, is one of those actors where you look back on and you're like, oh, fuck, he was a real goddamn
pimpy.
Man. Yeah.
Pimpy.
And like a real man where you're like, I bet you if you were in a bar.
Crew, or like he was hitting on crew.
Yeah. Like, he wasn't molesting.
Not molesting, they were.
Yeah. He's consenting. One of those guys to me where if you were out drinking at a pub over there, like he'd probably knock somebody out in a bar. Like, I genuinely believe
for sure.
Sean Connery would do that.
Yeah. And he's a big guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think Daniel Craig has done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Like, shit, he's pimpy as hell.
Yeah, I think he's killing it, for sure.
He's great. And I enjoy all the new Bonds just as well as I did the fucking old Bonds.
Yeah.
Like, that franchise is single-handedly stood up over time. Like, I can't believe it.
I thought
after the Dalton years it was
over.
It was done.
I love that. I like the worst years.
It was
but
done.
It's
well,
like
Pierce Brosnan,
the,
I think, saved it.
Yeah.
And
that's kind of what it is. So it's that into that. And so what was I gonna say? It's like Wes Anderson movies. It's like whichever one the first one is that you see is like your favorite.
Okay.
So like do you remember what the first one is?
Royal Tenenbaums, maybe.
Okay. Is that your favorite or no?
Yes, I would say so.
So my first one was Rushmore. It's not everyone's
favorite.
Oh,
fuck, I loved Rushmore.
Yeah, I loved it, but that's my favorite was the first one that I saw.
Yeah.
Big
fan of Rushmore.
And then no matter when people kind of, Zissou is some people's because that was the first one that
they
saw.
That's not.
Exactly.
That is definitely far down the list for me.
Totally. But it's like the first glimpse
sure.
that you have
into
in
that,
it. So I think the same is true probably about, you know, Bond or any other thing like that where it's like, a really specific, like life-changing genre,
thing,
right?
Yeah.
It's like the first time you experience it, that's going to be your most favorite.
Yeah.
So Timothy Dalton, was he the best? No, but it was like the first one that I saw.
It was your first. Ah.
Whatever.
Look, James, you're unique. You're special. And you keep proving that day after day to
day
me.
Day after day.
Dalton.
I know. Isn't that the worst? I like the worst one.
Oh,
but
do.
Rocketeer, guys.
Yeah, Rocketeer.
I fucking love Rocketeer. That's Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, look, Jennifer, you don't have to sell me on Jennifer Connelly. Big fan.
When she was like not super, super skinny.
Career opportunities was every boy's fantasy when she was in that.
Okay.
That, or was it Opportunity Knox? Fuck, I'm terrible at this. It was one of those two. She was kidnapped and she was hiding inside the Walmart. Yeah. It was good. That was my introduction to Jennifer Connelly. And I was like, God damn.
No, I can't find it.
Nah.
Sorry. I can't talk to you and find it. Sorry.
Okay. But that, yeah, that was my first experience in the Jennifer Connelly world.
Well, what about Labyrinth? I mean,
was she in Labyrinth? Oh, yeah. You're right. God damn.
That's your first. Isn't that her first? There's one.
I think
before
I was
that.
Too young. I think I was too young. I was too.
She was young in that, though. She was a young girl
yeah,
in Labyrinth.
Yeah. But I was too. I wasn't thinking about girls in that way. I don't think at that point.
Oh, okay.
It was later on.
Okay.
I'm going to go with career opportunities. We'll get killed for it. I'm sure as soon as the episode airs.
Well, this is the fun of it, right? The people at home can like scream at us, be like, "You stupid ass!"
Yeah,
but
you don't know it.
You don't know with the lights on you and the cameras. It's like hard to think sometimes. Okay, so it's like stuff that you're like, ah, I know that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll get them on the next show.
We'll get them on the next show,
Jabes. I love you. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry if we got kind of serious today. It's kind of been a somber day.
Career opportunities.
Nailed it. I got it. 20
years
for Ross
later.
Patterson, this is Jesse Wiseman. Thank you for watching the Ross Patterson Revolution, everybody. Just be good to one another today. Try it out. See how it feels.
Bye.